1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And our text for this morning is the 23rd verse. Verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." As the apostle approached the end of this epistle, he issued a series of short but important and weighty exhortations, the last of which was, "Abstain from all appearance of evil," verse 22. And in the light of the previous verse, that signifies the need to show whatever savors of error or evil that we are to abstain from it. False doctrine is most dishonoring to God and highly injurious to the souls of his people. Therefore, all error is to be feared and to be avoided like the plague. God has given warnings concerning those men who teach anything contrary to the truth of God's word. 2 Timothy 2 verse 17, we read, "Their word," that is the word of the false prophet and those that teach error, "their word will eat as doth a canker." So whatever you hear, read, whatever counsel you receive, even from Christians, whatever doubtful course or conduct others may follow, we must test everything against the truth of God's word. And whatever survives that test, Paul says, we're to hold it fast. And let not the sneers or the frowns of men cause you to relinquish. Rather, you're to hold it fast. And the more that you and I make a practice of measuring all things by the word of God, the keener will be your discernment to detect whatever falls short of that standard. If you know the word, you'll not be easily taken in by false teaching. And it is only as we form the habit of proving all things by the scriptures and holding fast that which is good, are we morally enabled to abstain from all appearance of evil. Notice how verse 23 begins. It begins with the word "and," indicating that it links us to what has gone before. And so we have in verse 22, "Abstain from all appearance of evil," and that links us to what has gone before. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly." Abstain from all appearance of evil. Paul then prays that the believers may be wholly sanctified. That's what they are to aim for. That's what they are to strive after. we will not be wholly sanctified this side of eternity. We are not going to be sinlessly perfect this side of eternity. But that's our goal. That's what Paul was praying for, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see the connection then between what we have in verse 23 and what has gone before with regard to the living of a holy life. He has set before the saints certain precepts. If obeyed, will lead to holiness of life. And I'm afraid in this day in which we live, holiness of life is not something that is greatly emphasized. Because so many professing believers want to be Christians, but they want the world as well. And they want to live as near to the world as they can. Paul prays, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That was Paul's prayer. He doesn't leave the matter there because he proceeds to pray that they will live a holy and sanctified life. And it is this prayer for sanctification in the lives of the believers that we want to consider with the Lord's help this morning. Regarding Paul's prayer, the first thing we notice is the character of Paul's prayer. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. There's the character of his prayer. And he goes on to say, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. You look at those words of Paul and the prayer of Paul here in this verse 23, and you can see immediately that it is a prayer that has some depth to it. There's substance to this prayer. Paul is praying for sanctification of life. Think about our own prayer lives. How often do we pray for sanctification of our own lives? How often do we pray for the sanctification in the lives of other believers? How often do we pray the Lord would grant us a holy life? We pray for many things. And we ought to pray for many things. We ought to pray about everything. But surely near the head of the list ought to be sanctification or holiness of life. Here's Paul's prayer, and as we said, there was depth to it. Sometimes our prayers are void of depth, void of spiritual substance, but not this prayer of Paul. Regarding his prayer and the character of his prayer, we notice the subject. What was he praying about? The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. He's praying about sanctification. Some may ask, what is sanctification? What is meant by sanctification? Well, our Westminster Shorter Catechism gives us the answer. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace. Mark the words. It is the work. Justification is an act of God's free grace. Sanctification is a work. It's an ongoing work. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Renewed in the whole man after the image of God, whereby we're enabled to die more and more unto sin and live unto righteousness. That's sanctification. It is a work. It is an ongoing work where we leave behind those things we once dabbled in, and we look forward to being more like Christ. The word sanctify primarily means separation. To separate from things profane and unclean. But that's not all. Sanctification is not confined to separation from the profane and the unclean. Sanctification means to be separated unto God. Sanctification means to be separated and consecrated to God. Separated unto God from that which is sinful, and to be consecrated to God and be a vessel, clean and fit for the Master's use. Paul taught Timothy that. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, that is, unclean things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Listen. Sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. The Lord will never use an unclean vessel. When you sit down at your table for a meal, you would hardly set out an unclean vessel, a plate or a cup on the table. We wouldn't use an unclean vessel. We cannot expect the Lord to use an unclean vessel. We're the vessel in the Lord's hands, and we need to be clean. That's the way it was with the vessels of the temple. Those vessels were sanctified. That is, they were set apart for holy use, for the use of the worship of God. They were not to be used for anything else. And here we have sanctification, separated from sin and uncleanness, separated unto God, consecrated to God, a vessel clean, sanctified, holy, in the hand of God, and God will use us. God will not use us if we're not clean. God will not use us unless that work of sanctification is going on in our hearts and in our lives. We should remember that it is the will of God that we are sanctified. You see, this isn't something we can just decide that we can take it or leave it. No. It is the will of God that every Christian lives a holy, sanctified life. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. So it's pretty clear. This is the will of God, even your sanctification. Remember what Paul said in Romans 12? Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed from the world by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, the will of God is our sanctification. Be not conformed to the world. That word conformed means to fashion. To fashion ourselves after the world. We're not to fashion ourselves after the Hollywood crowd. You see it all the time. Young people today following the lives of the ungodly Hollywood actors. And they live down in the gutter, and I cannot understand why young people want to follow them and be like them. Or the pop stars of today. They want to fashion themselves after these ungodly people. We are to fashion ourselves after Christ. We don't find our models and our examples in Hollywood. We find our example in Jesus Christ. Christ who's holy, harmless, and undefiled, and separate from sinners. He's our example. We are to be like him. 1 Peter, in chapter 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 14, Peter says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. What were those former lusts? The things that we ran after when we were in the world and loved the world and served the devil. Peter says, don't fashion yourselves after the former lusts. You're Christians now. Old things are passed away. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, the Lord said, for I am holy. In other words, we're to be like the Lord. Not like the idols of the world. We're to be like Christ. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. Paul, in speaking to the Romans, Romans 8, verse 29, said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be. To be. Predestinated us to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's it. We're to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the will of God. That's the work of God. Working in us. That we day by day grow more and more and more and more like Christ. That's what it's all about. That's what sanctification's all about. So you have the subject, sanctification. To have the source. The apostle prays, and the very God of peace sanctify you. And so the work of sanctification is carried on in our lives by God. It's the source. The words there, the very God of peace, may also be rendered the God of peace himself. As though to emphasize, the work of sanctification is carried on by God himself. So the God of peace himself is the source of our sanctification. It is through him, and not mere human effort, that we may abstain from all appearance of evil. That's the God of peace. Of course, unless we have been reconciled to God and we are at peace with God and we have the peace of God in our hearts, well, there will be no sanctification. We need to know the Lord. We need to have been reconciled to him for the work of sanctification to go on in our lives. Remember the sanctification. Remember what it is. It is a work of God's free grace, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. Indeed, when we look closely at the subject, we see that sanctification is the work of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the work of God the Father. See that in our text. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. So it's the work of the Father. Jude also tells us, in this first verse of his epistle, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. To them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. So there it's clear, it's the work of the Father. It's also the work of the Son. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood suffered without the gate. So it's the work of the Father, it's the work of the Son. And in Ephesians, this is emphasized, Ephesians 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So we've seen clearly, it's the work of the Father, it's the work of the Son. It is, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. And you notice in that verse the four persons of the Blessed Trinity are mentioned, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now we should take it seriously. Even if only one person of the Trinity is mentioned. Because each person is equal in power and substance. But when we see in God's word that the work of sanctification that's carried on in our lives by the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Does that not emphasize this is something important? Something that must be attended to. Something that we just can't dismiss. It's the work of God's free grace. Also a work of God's gospel. We read there in Ephesians 5, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. A person who is not a student of the word, does not spend time in the word, will know nothing about living a sanctified life. I saw a video just this past week, a little clip, of a number of suitcases filled with Bibles arriving in China. It was the most touching thing. The suitcases were opened, and all who were in the room ran like people who were starving for food. And they ran and they picked up a Bible, and it showed you them standing, holding their Bible to their hearts and kissing the Bible. Just so thankful that they had in their possession a copy of God's Word. How precious is this Word to us? How often do we read it and study it? For when we read the word and study the word, we'll want to live a sanctified life. We'll want to be holy. But if we neglect the reading and the study of the word, we needn't think about living a holy life. I tell you. Once again, what did Paul say? Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. Prove all things. And whatever you find is good and pure and wholesome, Paul says, hold it fast. We hold it fast. That's the standard we will live by. You've said before, some believers set their own standards. Their own standards of holiness. Their own standards of what a Christian should be. That's a dangerous game. Our standard is what we have here in this book. That's our standard. It's what God says, not what man says, not what our friends say. Not even what other Christians say. Our standard is the Bible, the Word of the living God. And as when we study the Word, we'll know how we ought to live. Isn't that how the Lord prayed? The Lord prayed for us in his high priestly prayer. He prayed these words, sanctify them. So that shows you that's important. The Lord prayed for our sanctification. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So here's the Lord. And he's showing to us that sanctification will come through the word. The truth of God. Need to get into the Word. Psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 133, prayed, order my steps in thy Word. And let not iniquity have dominion over me. There you are. Order my steps in thy word, and let not iniquity have dominion over me. If our steps are ordered in accordance with God's word, then iniquity will not rule over us, and we'll live a holy life. Be ye holy, even as I am holy. So we have the subject and the source. We just mentioned there, we come now to the standard. The standard. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. There's the standard. God sets a very high standard for his people to live by. Paul prayed, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That word holy is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. It's the only place it's found here. The word holy means throughout. The word holy means perfect. The word holy means in all things. The very God of peace sanctify you in all things. The very God of peace sanctify you throughout. So we see that nothing is to escape the sanctifying power of God and his word. Every aspect of the Christian life is to be sanctified and holy and consecrated to God. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y, holy and acceptable unto God. That's the standard. You present yourselves a living sacrifice. When the high priest of the Old Testament came and offered a sacrifice unto God, he offered the whole sacrifice, the whole animal, not just part of it. And we cannot offer to the Lord just part of us. He must have us all. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When you think of what the Lord has done for us and the sacrifice he made for us, is this not a reasonable thing for us to do? In Titus, Paul's epistle to Titus in chapter 2. We read there in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us," grace of God teaches us, "that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world." So we are to be godly, we are to be holy, we are to be sanctified in our conduct, how we behave. That's what Paul is teaching Titus. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how we are to live. Again, that's what God says. It's not what our friends or neighbors say. It's what God says. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ. So we're to be holy in our conduct, we're to be holy in our conversation. Mine doesn't take you to stand too near to worldly people in supermarkets and malls. You don't need to stand too near to them. If you have the misfortune overhearing their conversation. Even young people, even children. And the words that come out of their mouths. Christian is to be different from that. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. Peter said, as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. That means no dirty jokes. That means nothing unsavory. Our conversation is to be holy, holy. Isn't that what Paul was praying for? That the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly in every part throughout your Christian life. First Thessalonians 4 and 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Goes without saying, anything unsavory that comes out of our lips is not of God. But it does tell you something. You hear someone coming out with something unclean or unsavory. What that tells you, the condition of their heart. It tells you they have an evil, unclean, dirty heart. That's what it tells you. That's what the Lord said. What's in the heart will come out of the mouth. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 7. So we've seen the character of Paul's prayer. We see the completeness in Paul's prayer. Just following on from what Paul meant when he used the word holy. Remember, in every part, throughout, in all things. Paul says, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body. That doesn't leave anything out. And Paul prayed that the whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Similar words in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 5. The words are familiar to us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, there's the spirit, with all thy soul, and with all thy might, there's the body. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. That doesn't leave anything out. Paul prayed that the God of peace would sanctify his people wholly throughout, not leaving anything out. Every part of us is to be sanctified unto God. The world, the devil, the flesh must not be able to claim any part of us. God has his claim on us because we're bought with a price. You go into a store and you buy a piece of furniture and you pay the money for it, and there's a label on it that says sold. And you go in a few days later to pick up the piece of furniture and the salesman said, oh, I'm sorry, we sold it to somebody else. You wouldn't think much of that place. We have, as it were, that sticker on us, sold. The Lord has bought and paid for us. We don't belong to anybody else. Nobody else has a claim on us. No one but God alone. God alone. God alone. Here Paul speaks about perfection. He's not teaching that we can be perfect here. He's not teaching that we can be entirely sanctified here. That's not what he's teaching at all. Always remember the prayer of Robert Murray McShane. I love McShane. Young man died in his 30th year. When people talked about McShane, they hardly ever said the Reverend McShane or Murray McShane. More often than not, they said Holy McShane. It's such a holy life. And Robert Murray McShane used to pray, Lord, make me as holy as is possible for a saved sinner to be, this side of eternity. Make me as holy as is possible for a saved sinner to be, this side of eternity. You see, McShane made that his goal, to be as holy as it was possible for a saved sinner to be, this side of eternity. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 tells us there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's not a just man. So we still sin. We're not entirely sanctified. We're not sinlessly perfect. The Bible teaches that. But we are to strive after perfection. Nothing wrong with that, is there? There's nothing wrong with striving after perfection. In Philippians 3, in verse 21, Paul says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body? That's when it'll happen, when we go home to be with the Lord. He'll change our vile body that it may be fashioned. We talked about being fashioned earlier on. Not being fashioned to the ways of the world and fashioned after the world, but fashioned after Christ. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's what we're aiming for. The word whole is the word that means perfect. The same word is used by James. That word whole in verse 23 of 1 Thessalonians 5, and pray God your whole spirit, that word whole, the word whole means perfect. That's how it is translated in James 1 verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. Perfect and entire. wanting nothing. See, that's our goal. That's what we aim for. Would it not be better? Would it not be more satisfying to strive after perfection and holiness? Being more like Christ in His holiness, in His sanctification? Because Christ was sanctified. The Lord said in John 17, verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. Their sakes. Not that Christ was made holy. Christ was holy. But sanctified himself, separated himself unto God. Lived that holy life, that we might be sanctified through the truth, that we might follow His example. The more sanctified we are, the more holy we will be, the more heavenly we will be, and I'll tell you something else, the happier we will be. Because there's no happiness to be found in sin. No, sir. Happiness is in the Lord. Happiness is living like the Lord and being like Him. So you have the perfection, you have the preservation. Paul says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless. Preserved. The word preserved there means to be kept. The Lord used the same word in His high priestly prayer. John 17, verses 6, 11, 12, and 15. Same word, the word kept. So we can see how Paul was praying that the Lord would keep the believers at Thessalonica blameless. He's praying that the work of sanctification would go on in their lives. And then he goes on to pray, Lord, keep them that way. Don't let them go back. Don't let them slide back into the world. But give them a testimony that's blameless before the eyes of the world. That's what he's praying. Lord, keep them blameless. Which would be the fruit of a sanctified life. Keep them blameless. We are kept, of course, in salvation. They're not going to be lost. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. We're kept in salvation. But Paul's praying about their holiness of life. And he's saying, Lord, keep them that way. So that in the eyes of the world, they'll be blameless. That the world will not be able to point a finger at any one of us with regard to some sin in our lives. Remembering again the words of Jude, in verse 1 of his epistle, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. It's all to do with Christ. Preserved in Him. Preserved in Him blameless. You have the preparation. Preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the preparation. preparing for the day of the Lord's coming. And I tell you, when you see what's going on in the world today, I'm sure we all agree the Lord's return can't be very far away. No one knows, of course. But the Lord's return's not far away. And the Lord said when he would return, would he find faith on the earth? How will the Lord find us? Think of it. If the Lord were to come tonight, if the Lord were to come tomorrow, how would he find us? Would he find us living a holy life? Would he find us with our lives surrendered and dedicated to God? Would he find us living a sanctified life? How would he find us? Or would he find us no different from the world? We entitled this series, Living in the Light of the Lord's Return. Because every chapter deals with the Lord's return. And surely that these words of Paul in verse 23 emphasizes that. We should live in the light of the Lord's return. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your body, your spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us all pray that. In our own times of prayer, let us pray to that end. Lord, sanctify me wholly. Preserve me blameless until the day of my Savior's return. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, Thou hast shown us through Thy word, Lord, the path we are to take through life. And so, Lord, we would pray, order my steps in Thy word, that no iniquity will have dominion over me. O Lord, have us to take Thy word to heart. Even as Paul exhorted the believers at Thessalonica, despise not prophesyings or despise not the preaching of the word. May we not set it at naught. May we not set it to one side. But, O Lord, may we take it to our hearts. Just like those dear Chinese believers took the word and held it to their hearts and wept because they had a copy of the scriptures in their hands. Give us a deeper, greater love for the word and a greater desire, Lord, to be more like Thee. May our prayer be that was of John the Baptist. May I decrease. May the Lord increase in my life. Be with us now, Lord, as we part the one from the other. May Thy good hand be upon us today. And in Thy will, Lord, return us tonight. spend time again around thy holy word. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore.